The head of Radio Prague, Miroslav Krupička, attended a conference in London this week, recalling the legacy of the highly respected former Czechoslovak foreign minister and ambassador to the UK, Jan Masaryk. The event was held on the 65th anniversary of Masaryk's still largely unexplained death. Jan Wellinger spoke to Mirek Krupička on the line to London.
It was an interesting conference. It was opened by Michal Žantovský, the Czech ambassador to the UK, and also addressed by Karel Schwarzenberg, who was in London. He had a very emotional address, actually, to the audience. He started to weep when remembering the death of Jan Masaryk. And the conference was quite interesting because it presented Jan Masaryk as a soldier, as a diplomat, and also as a broadcaster.
Masaryk, of course, was one of Czechoslovakia's most notable statesmen. I certainly want to ask about those aspects, but is it fair to say that it was his role in the exile government in London during World War II that continues to, say, define him the most or to get the largest focus?
Yes, indeed. This was the most important part of the conference. Jan Masaryk as a politician or Jan Masaryk as a diplomat. The Czech historian Vít Smetana actually presented Jan Masaryk in a rather critical way, let's say as a weak or sometimes inconsistent diplomat. He said that in 1943, Jan Masaryk adopted Beneš's view that the only guarantee of peace for Czechoslovakia after the war was the Soviet Union. And since then, there was a pro-Soviet orientation in the Czechoslovak government. And after the war, as everybody knows, Jan Masaryk became increasingly frustrated with what was happening. He was pressed by the USSR to, for instance, to reject the Marshall Plan. He had to vote in line with the Soviet Union in the UN and so on and so forth. And while in private he was critical of the Soviet Union, he was unable to voice his criticism publicly. That was his personal problem. And the Czech historian concluded that the Czechoslovak position towards the USSR should not have been so submissive. It could have been more dignified, he said, as the Polish position was, for instance, towards the Soviet Union. It was Jan Masaryk's and Beneš's stand towards the Soviet Union that more or less prepared the way for the communist coup d'etat.
Coming as it does 65 years on the anniversary of his unexplained death, were there any new, say, points of view presented on his death, which of course was originally reported as suicide, but was suspected that he was actually murdered?
Unfortunately not. There was a couple of Czech historians, a couple of British historians, but they said they were not experts on Jan Masaryk's death. And there was a large and extensive discussion on this topic, but unfortunately with no new views or no new conclusions. But there was another aspect of Jan Masaryk revealed, Jan Masaryk as a soldier, which was quite interesting. Jan Masaryk actually was recruited and fought in Russia, in Ukraine, in Italy. And he was several times promoted during the First World War. He got a silver medal for bravery, which was quite interesting. And it was in total contradiction with what his father did. His father, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, was abroad in exile, getting ready for the revolution, while his son fought for the Austrian Empire. And actually, he was active as a soldier in 1920s and 1930s as well. And what was a new revelation, from 1944 to 1945, Jan Masaryk was in the exile government. He was the Minister of Defense, which was a quite interesting aspect of his career that no one knew of so far. He's a man of many contradictions, and there are many aspects of his life and of his death yet to be revealed.
One final aspect I would like to ask about is, of course, Jan Masaryk's role in radio. He broadcast from London over the BBC during the war to his occupied homeland. My understanding is that he was also very popular on the Czechoslovak airwaves at home.
Yes, he was indeed. Jan Masaryk was a very good speaker, a very good entertainer, a very lively and social person. He liked to socialize, and therefore he was selected actually on the 8th of May of 1939 to launch the Czechoslovak broadcast on the BBC. And since then, he had his speech on the BBC every Wednesday, and he became really very popular in the protectorate in Czechoslovakia at home. People loved his informal style, his sort of personal approach, and he was much more popular than the other politicians who talked on radio, such as Hubert Rybka or Prokop Drtina or even the President Beneš. And he was more, the London broadcasts were more popular than the VOA, for instance, than the broadcast in Czech from America or from Moscow. And yes, his career continued after the war when he was the foreign minister in the post-war government. He gave a number of speeches specifically for the radio. There's a number of recordings of his speeches or addresses or debates with the public, with the audience. He toured Czechoslovakia and promoted the policy of the post-war government, the role of the United Nations. So there's a number of recordings, and some are still preserved in the archives of Czech radio. And I have selected a few items, a few clips, audio clips that were played in the conference, and they were very interesting.
You mentioned at the beginning that today's foreign minister, Karl Schwarzenberg, had a very emotional reaction after so many years. On the other hand, it's not unexpected. Masaryk was somebody who was very much loved by his fellow countrymen.
Well, older people have Jan Masaryk as a symbol of the pre-war Czechoslovakia, of democracy, of the so-called First Republic. You know, this is how people remember Jan Masaryk. It was in my family, my grandparents, my parents. Most people remember, for instance, the day that Jan Masaryk died, or rather was murdered. The same was mentioned by Karel Schwarzenberg. He was a very popular politician after the war. You know, he was the son of the founder of Czechoslovakia, of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, who was always a very popular and highly regarded. So it was a day when everything stopped, it seems now, the day that Jan Masaryk died. You know, everyone has got his memories, and Karel Schwarzenberg remembered what happened in his family, how he was a 10-year-old boy, and remembered what he was doing, how he was summoned by his parents, how the discussion went. They were talking about what was lost, and then that it was an end of an era, and it indeed was, because after Jan Masaryk's death, the communists basically took power and governed the country for 40 years.